The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... We are here as on a darkling plain, swept with confused alarms of struggle and flight, where ignorant armies clash by night. Yes, at one time, war was war, and peace was peace, and everyone knew which was which, just as you could tell the difference between day and night. But now we seem to live in a perpetual twilight. Are we at war? Are we at peace? All we know is what we think we can see on the surface.
He's making a mistake.
It's impossible.
I'm not who he thinks I am.
Could be.
He's going to kill me for nothing.
Perhaps.
But there must be something I can do about it.
Yes.
What? Tell me what?
Kiss me.
Our mystery drama, Ignorant Armies, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Gann and stars Mandel Creamer. It is sponsored in part by True Value Hardware Stores and ARM, Allergy Relief Medicine. I'll be back shortly with Act One. What is life? Asks the Spanish poet. And he even obliges us with the answer. Life is a dream. And that could very well be. For there are those people who are convinced that they are living as prisoners in some desperate nightmare, and that every attempt to rouse themselves results in making that dream even more terrifying. Therefore, we shall say that this is the story, or is it the dream, of a man named Walter Patterson.
You haven't finished your eggs, Walter.
I'm not hungry.
Waste not, want not.
Really, Mother, I'm...
Busy this morning, aren't you?
Who, me?
You look a bit peaked, too.
No, I'm all right.
You haven't been sleeping nights, either.
No, Mother, please.
I know when my boy's asleep and when he isn't. I can tell.
Mother, I'm fine.
You know what you really should do, Walter?
Yes.
Let me finish. Find a nice girl and marry her.
Yes, Mother.
Well, it's about time, wouldn't you say? After all, you're 35 now.
I know.
It's about time, wouldn't you say?
Certainly is.
Now, Walter, I really mean it.
I know you do.
Now, am I one of those mothers who keeps a son tied to her apron strings?
No.
Believe me, Walter, with all my heart, I want you to get married.
I know, Mother.
It's a normal, healthy, natural thing for a young man to do. There does happen to be a problem. Where can you find a nice girl these days?
I don't know.
Yes, where can you find a nice girl, a decent girl, a virtuous girl? I don't know what's happened to the world, Walter, do you?
No.
There's a looseness in young people today, especially in young women. I don't know what boys like you, honest, idealistic boys like you, can do. Oh, well, maybe you'll meet her one day.
Her?
The girl that's worthy of you.
Is any girl worthy of me?
Why, Walter, dear.
Who am I, Mother? What am I, anyhow? I'm just an ordinary, everyday chemist.
Oh, you really are out of sorts this morning.
All I do is figure ways to make food taste better. What a waste of time.
Now, Walter.
Food just as it is, the way it comes up from the ground, the way it ripens in the sun and the rain, that's the very best taste there is.
How many times do we have to go through this?
I mean, it's just that. Food, when it's fresh.
If the Lord had intended for us to eat fresh food, he would not have created refrigeration. If he had desired us to eat it the way it emerges from the ground, he would not have invented chemicals. Incidentally, do you still see that Stacy girl?
Oh, yes, Mother. I see Eleanor Stacy every day.
Walter, is that wise?
Well, I have to pass her desk on the way to my office.
Do you have lunch with her?
Oh, no, I never have lunch with her.
But on that day I came to visit
Mother,
you,
I've already explained that more than once.
There's no need to be edgy.
I'd neglected to bring my sandwich from home.
Neglected?
Oh, I'd forgotten.
Psychiatrists say we forget because we mean to.
So I went downstairs to the coffee shop in the building, and the only empty place happened to be at the table where she was sitting. And there's nothing more to it. And had you come over, you would have seen for yourself.
Obviously, you're Miss Eleanor Stacy.
She's not my Miss Eleanor Stacy.
She uses too much makeup, dyes her hair, and wears clothes that call, I would say, rather indecent attention to various parts of her person.
Well, Mother, I'd best be going.
And she's not all that young, either. I get the impression she's in her 30s, up there.
I wouldn't know.
Why do you suppose she hasn't married till now?
I never asked her.
I'm sure she hasn't, how shall I put this, waited, if you know what I mean.
Oh, Mother, I'm not Eleanor Stacy's type.
Indeed.
I mean, I've seen the kind of men who wait for Miss Stacy with their long hair and their mustaches and their leather jackets, and they all ride motorcycles.
Oh, poor naive Walter. There's so much about women you simply don't know.
Well, good morning there, Mr. Patterson.
Good morning, Miss Stacy.
Oh, I see you brought your lunch.
Yes, I usually do. I find it more nutritious.
Oh, no doubt. Well, it looks like a gorgeous day. Very few clouds in the sky.
Yes. Those few, though, are rain clouds. I shouldn't be surprised if we have some showers by noontime.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. The wind is from the east.
Oh, that's no good, huh?
Oh, well, it means a heavy downpour. Maybe even flooding.
Thanks a lot for the weather forecast.
Well, look, I'm sorry if I said anything that may have upset any of your plans.
Forget it.
But after all, Miss Stacy, I have no control over the weather. I could see by her face that I had just ruined her day. I just don't seem able to talk to girls. They say you should talk about things you know. Well, I know quite a bit about meteorology, but somehow it all ends badly. I wouldn't say badly, but I couldn't say goodly either.
Patterson?
Yes, Mr. Borstel.
Where are those perfume samples?
Well, I'm still constructing them.
You've been at it a week.
Yes, I'm aware of that, Mr. Borstel.
Do you intend to make a career of it?
Yes, you pinch-faced, mean-spirited little bureaucrat. There are successful, well-known, respected scientists who have made a career out of less. These proteins will revolutionize the eating habits of the world and save millions, maybe billions. And what's in it for me? Nothing. All the credit, all the money goes to the company. All right, I signed that agreement when I took the job, and I'll honor it. But you keep out of my way, you hair-splitting, clock-watching fool. That's how I should talk to him, but all I ever say is, I'm sorry, Mr. Borstel. I'll have to do better. Yes, who is it?
It's only me, Helena Stacy. Do you mind if I pop in for a second?
Oh, Miss Stacy.
I enter this sanctum sanctorum of our chief chemist with considerable trepidation.
Oh, it's quite all right.
I realize how totally immersed you must be in your research efforts.
Well, yes, I suppose.
Mr. Patterson, I'm here on a delicate matter.
Oh?
However, I think I should ask, are you in any trouble?
I beg your pardon?
Now, I realize that sounds like a completely personal question. Would you agree?
Well, perhaps.
Well, it is, no doubt about that. However, since I'm in personnel, I have to look at things differently. You would agree?
Oh, yes, probably. Mm-hmm.
You see, we have to be aware of anything in our employees' personal lives that might affect the performance of their work. That's to be expected, isn't it?
Well, yes.
On the other hand, there's such a thing as prying and snooping, spying, wouldn't you say?
I suppose so.
It's a thin line, an uncertain border, a nebulous area. However, someone has been making inquiries about you.
About me?
Mm-hmm. All inquiries of this nature always arrive at my desk.
Well, what sort of inquiries?
Well, they're seeking to determine if the Walter Patterson who's with Protein Industries is the same Walter Patterson who was a member of the United States Army stationed in Germany some 10 years ago.
Oh. What did you reply?
Nothing. Our personnel files are supposed to be confidential.
Why would anyone want such information?
I would assume, Mr. Patterson, that you would know more about that than I do.
Oh, I know nothing at all.
Our experience proves that most inquiries are based on one of two things.
Yes?
Finance and romance.
I'm not sure I understand.
Well, people are usually asking you because, you owe them money.
Oh, no. I'm sure I don't owe a penny in the world to anyone. I mean, I believe in paying cash or doing without.
Well, then, it must be love.
Love?
Amour, in one of its infinite variations.
That's impossible.
Are you saying there's not some intoxicating interlude with a beautiful Fräulein?
Oh, me?
Where caution and prudence may have been swept away by the overwhelming magic of the moment?
Oh, no.
Could there have been a young Walter?
Hmm?
With your wavy blonde hair, your deep blue eyes? Well, he'd be almost 10 years old.
Oh, no. That's absolutely untrue.
You must have been irresistibly handsome in your uniform.
I haven't the slightest idea.
There were no romantic episodes?
No. No, none at all.
Oh, I see. Then you're unable to think of any reason why anyone should wish to find you today because of some event that took place some 10 years ago during your military service abroad?
No.
Well, then, obviously, that must close the discussion.
Excuse me, sir.
Oh, yes?
do you have a match?
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't smoke. I mean, I'm not sorry I don't smoke. I'm glad I don't smoke. It's just I'm sorry I can't abide you.
Oh, thank you. Do you have the time?
No, I'm afraid I don't wear a watch.
You do not wear a watch?
Well, I find wearing a watch can impede my circulation.
You could carry one in your vest pocket.
Oh, vests are a little out of style.
I understand they're coming back.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that.
Would you do something for me?
What?
If you will look at the curb just 5 feet away.
Well, why should I do that?
You will notice a taxi cab is just there.
Oh, I don't need a cab.
You will be good enough to enter?
What for?
My friend let me unbutton my coat.
A gun?
True.
What do you want?
I've already told you. I want you to enter the taxi.
What for?
My friend, if you do not enter the taxi, I will shoot you.
But why?
Do as you are told. I'm trying to avoid a scene on the public street.
You must be making a mistake.
No mistake.
You must have me confused with someone else.
Your name is Walter Patterson?
Well, yes, but...
My instructions are to deliver you dead or alive.
Instructions?
How shall it be?
How do you know my name is Walter Patterson?
Into the taxi. No. Do not look around. Do not try to attract attention.
No, I... Listen.
And now just turn slowly. Walk to the curb. Very nicely.
But I tell you...
There is no need for conversation. Now, open the door. Go on, open it. Enter. The gentleman sitting on the end there is an associate of mine. Move next to him. Now, I shall join you. Excellent.
Look, I don't know what this is all about, but I'm telling you right now that you're making a big mistake. What was that?
Oh, did you feel it? A pity. My associate is usually more skillful with the needle.
What are you doing to me? What's
nothing serious, Mr. Patterson.
What?
Just putting you to sleep for a bit.
To sleep?
Pleasant dreams, Mr. Patterson. Well, Dmitri, here is our prize package at last. After all these years.
Prize package? Our friend Walter is obviously a package of sorts, since he is being delivered somewhere. But who would want Walter? And why? We've had a rather revealing look at his present. It doesn't suggest he could have had very much of a past. But that shall be revealed in the future. You are invited to attend Act Two, shortly. Still waters, they tell us, run deep. You might also say that deep waters run still. Yes, you know that quiet, shy, self-effacing, mousy type of whom it is said butter wouldn't melt in his mouth. Well, sometimes, it turns out, it's because he doesn't eat butter. He devours raw meat. Is our pussycat really a tiger?
What happened? Where am I? Who are you?
You have become awake.
You kidnapped me. You took me off the street in broad daylight at the point of a gun.
At any rate, you are here.
What do you mean, here? Where's here? Oh, head.
It is to be expected. The drug leaves lingering traces of discomfort. Forgive me.
Forgive you?
Marina, my dear, pour a glass of water for Mr. Patterson.
Yes. Drink.
So, we finally, as you say in your country, make connections.
Connections? Sir, may I say something?
You are expected to say a great deal. That is why you've been brought here.
A mistake has been made.
A mistake?
Yes, a mistake of monumental proportions. Obviously, you have me confused with another person.
Your name is Walter Patterson.
Yes, but I am not the
only... You were a soldier 10 years ago in Germany.
Yes, but I'm sure that...
You would visit the town of Glassenheim.
Yes, but so did thousands. Besides, my name is not very unusual.
Mr. Patterson, it would be best to put all the cards, as they say, on the table.
You have me confused with someone else. Now, please, before things reach a point where it would be awkward for everybody, why don't you just let me leave here?
Leave? But you have just arrived, and we have not yet reached an understanding.
That's what I'm trying to explain. It's a mistake.
No, Mr. Patterson. I will explain.
No, please, don't. Right now, I couldn't understand anything. I don't know who you are or what you're doing or what you're after. So if I were to just walk out of here now, nobody would be any the wiser. You'd have nothing to fear from me. I give you my word I won't go to the police.
What an interesting idea.
What do you say? Now, you went to some trouble, I admit, but I'm the one who got a headache out of all this, so why don't we just call it quits?
Dmitri, have you anything to say to Mr. Patterson?
Wait a minute.
Now, you deny that you're Walter Patterson?
I'm not the same Walter Patterson.
A girl named Gunhilde Bismarck. You never knew this girl?
Why not? You deny
that you know her?
No, I tell you.
Dmitri?
No. No. I knew her.
So, we shall all be sensible now, and friendly. Marina, pour a glass of wine for Mr. Patterson. Now, you would visit Fraulein Bismarck at her home, of an evening?
I may have.
Mm-hmm. And you would speak with her of many things.
Well, you know, I mean, there was talk.
And you told her many things.
I don't know exactly what I told her. I mean, you know how it is. You talk to a girl.
Did you not tell Fraulein Bismarck that you were a member of the American Secret Intelligence?
Oh, me? Why should I tell her a thing like that?
You deny that you told her that?
Oh, I never said...
Dmitri?
Now, stop him! All right, I did say something like that, but you see what it was.
Yes.
It was a lie.
A lie?
Absolutely.
Why did you tell her a lie?
Because I was trying to impress her.
Oh. Continue.
You see, I'd never gone out with girls before. I mean, not very much. I mean, practically not at all. So then there was the draft, and I mean, you had to go into service. So I was sent to Germany, and I decided then that I would actually go on some dates.
Why did you not go on dates, as you call them here?
Well, you see, my mother, she doesn't think that any girl is good enough for me.
Mm-hmm. Continue.
But now that she was, you know, 4,000 miles away, I decided what she didn't know couldn't hurt her.
You were a sly one. Is that not so, Marina?
Yes.
So I went into this cafe in Glassenheim, and I met this girl, Gunhilde. And I discovered that I really didn't know what to do.
Oh, my good Mr. Patterson, one merely follows the dictates of nature.
Well, I suppose so, but you have to get a conversation going, and I wanted to impress this very beautiful girl.
so.
I mean, there were other fellows in the room, and they were all giving her the eye, and I was afraid that I would lose her, so I just started telling her what an important guy I was.
You should have told her how beautiful she was instead.
Yes, you can do that if you have experience and confidence. I mean, after a while, you develop a free and easy manner, but I'd never been with a girl before.
So you told her that you were with intelligence.
Yes. I mean, it was stupid.
Nevertheless.
But it wasn't true.
It wasn't?
No, it was just something I made up on the spur of the moment.
Really?
Look, if I were a member of Secret Intelligence, would I tell anybody about it?
Yes.
Yes.
Especially if you had come there purposely to meet her.
No, you've got it all wrong.
You had discovered somehow that Gunhilde Bismarck was one of our agents.
How would I know that?
And so you arranged with her to sell army secrets.
No.
You were well paid.
I never got any money.
You insisted on being paid in advance.
You're wrong.
Oh, very clever. You whetted our appetites with a few choice morsels. I believe in your country it is known as setting up the sucker.
Wait. Let me explain why.
You were given a big payment. Then you were never seen or heard from again. Dmitri.
No.
Enough time has been wasted. You will continue now to give us information.
I don't have any.
Dmitri.
Wait, please.
Yes? You have almost $250,000 of our money. You will have to, as they say in your country, work it off.
I'm trying to tell you.
Enough. Dmitri and I, we have a meeting now to attend. Marina will watch over you. Marina is a very good shot. Marina, kill him if he tries to go.
I will.
So, we'll leave you in good hands, come Dmitri.
Please.
Goodbye. Au revoir.
Look, Miss, Marina, is that your name?
Yes.
This is a mistake. Believe me, it's a terrible mistake.
Oh, yes.
Can't you say anything but yes?
Yes.
That girl, that Gunhilde, I was just giving her what's called a line.
Yes.
And I'm really not very good at that kind of thing, so I just completely fouled it up.
Oh, yes.
I should have listened to my mother. She said that women would get me into trouble, and she was right. What am I going to do now? These people, they're going to kill me. They are, aren't they?
Yes.
Oh, you're a great help.
Yes.
Can't you say anything but yes?
Yes.
Well, then say it.
Kiss me.
Kiss you?
Yes.
Well, I
come here.
Oh, please, don't point the gun at me.
The gun is empty.
Well, even so.
Come here, now. Kiss me.
Well, if you insist.
Good.
What happens now?
Again, kiss.
But
talk later. Oh, better. Now, talk.
I don't know what to say.
I talk, not you. I love you.
You love me?
Yes, I love you.
But you just met me a few minutes ago.
Yes.
How could you just fall in love like that?
Oh, you have blue eyes, blonde hair.
Is that enough?
Yes.
You're a very attractive young lady, but I don't think truthfully that I could say I'm in love with you.
Oh, it is not important.
It isn't?
No, today I love you. Tomorrow? Who knows?
Look, this is all very well, but what's going to happen?
Do not fight. Do not contradict Orlov.
Orlov? Is he the boss?
Orlov says you are with Secret Intelligence.
Yes, but that's not true.
Agree.
It is not true.
It is not important.
What are you saying?
Orlov thinks you are American secret agent.
And I'm trying to tell you that he's wrong.
Why make Orlov unhappy?
Well, it isn't a question of making Orlov unhappy.
It is very much a question. If Orlov is unhappy, Orlov will kill you.
Are you telling me to lie to Orlov?
Why not? Truth is no help.
Now, just hold on. You mean I should say to Orlov that he's right? That I was a secret agent and that I sold information to Gunhilde?
Yes.
But not a word of that is true.
I am telling you that it is not important.
You keep saying that.
Oh, why are you so serious?
Because if I say to Orlov that he's right, he'll expect me to supply him with secret military information.
So?
What do you mean, so? Where would I get such information? Listen to what I'm saying. Here I am discussing the possibility of betraying my country.
Oh, you are so serious.
It's a serious situation.
Give him information.
Don't you understand? Even if I were willing to do it, which I am not, I wouldn't know where to get it.
It is no problem.
You keep saying it's no problem. Where would I get military information?
Where? From me.
From you? What are you saying?
Oh, kiss me.
You must admit that girl has turned out to be a perfect little treasure so far. Have you ever seen a problem solved so quickly and so neatly and so pleasantly? But who is our new friend Marina? Who is she working for? Well, that's the central concern of Act 3, which she'll be along shortly. Who was it, which philosopher said that we shall not be punished for those little lies that we men tell to women? Well, it's permissible, I suppose, to bend or even stretch the truth a bit when you whisper sweet nothings into a lady's ear. The problem is that sweet nothings may become sour somethings if overheard by the wrong people. After all, love may be blind, but no one ever said it was deaf.
I don't understand.
What is not to understand?
You were saying that you would give me American military information to feed to Orlov.
Yes. Oh, kiss me.
Wait. First, where would you get such information?
Where? In my head.
I don't understand that.
I would make it up. Invent it.
You mean fabricate?
I tell you. You tell Orlov.
But he'll never be...
Orlov is happy because he has information. You are happy because you are still alive.
I don't follow you.
I am happy because you can kiss me.
Now look, about this information.
Information? How you say, give him standard information.
Standard?
Some information everybody make up. How many troops, how many planes, how many bombs, rockets, guns.
But why should you want to do it?
Oh, because I love you.
Because you think you love me.
Now, when Orlov returns, here is what you say.
So, you decide honesty is best policy, huh?
Yes.
It's not always true, but in your case, yes. Now, what do you have to tell me?
Well, I've written down the number of planes that will be sent to the airbase at Wildersheim.
Oh, now, this is what we have been paying for. Yes. What is the armament?
Well, that I don't know. I'll have to find out.
You have 1 week. You will report back to me at noon next Monday. And each and every noon, Monday.
Miss Patterson, let me see if I have it all. You claim these alleged foreign agents...
Mr. Larkin, why do you say alleged?
Well, we have laws in this country. A person is innocent until proven guilty and so forth. At any rate, they abducted you and expected you to furnish them with military information.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And one of them, a woman, promised to help you deceive the others.
That's correct.
I see. And why is this woman doing it?
Because she fell in love with me. It must have been at first sight.
All right. I want to thank you for bringing this information.
Well, I believe it's my duty as a citizen.
Yes, Miss Patterson, it certainly is. And now, if you'll be good enough to excuse me...
Oh, I understand. You probably want to get to work on this right away.
Oh, yes, Miss Patterson, we certainly do.
Well, I won't hold you back another minute.
Goodbye, Miss Patterson.
Good day to you, Mr. Larkin.
Oh, boy. Mrs. Larkin, it's for the nut file. Yeah, but you have to run it down anyhow. Man's name is Patterson, Walter. Any questions?
Nice. Walter, you are a sensational lover.
Now look, Marina, Orlov will be here any minute, and I don't know what to tell him.
Oh, tell him standard.
Again, standard?
Tell him 10, no, better make dozens. 12 missiles in base at, where to put 12 missiles? Oh, right. In base near Wildersheim.
But how long can this go on?
How long? Good question.
I mean, how long before Orloff becomes suspicious?
Orloff never will go on until Colonel Plenov becomes suspicious.
Who is Colonel Plenov?
Oh, he is what you call boss, big boss. He put everything he tell Orloff in computer.
Oh, yes?
And then one day, he send Orloff friendly message. Come home for a visit, Comrade Orloff.
Oh?
Orloff thinks he is coming home for medal. Oh, no.
No?
No. Orloff is coming home so that he can be... Oh, poor Orloff.
You mean they would shoot him?
Oh, yes.
But suppose Orloff becomes suspicious of me first.
Oh, then Orloff shoot you.
But
we must not to worry. Better kiss me.
Mr. Patterson, I told you we're handling the matter.
Well, Mr. Larkin, it just seems to me that you should be a little more excited.
Excited?
Yes. I mean, I bring you news that enemy agents are setting me up as a source of information, and what are you doing about it?
What do you think we should do?
Well, arrest them, jail them, deport them.
We are following strict procedures.
Mr. Larkin, I have an idea that you're laughing at me, that you're not taking me seriously.
Oh, but we are.
I don't believe it.
Mr. Madison, we've investigated you thoroughly.
Me? What for? What did I do?
We've also called on Mr. Orloff.
What?
He's a very highly respected, reputable businessman.
Now, that isn't so.
We confronted him with the story that you told us.
Well, naturally, he would deny it.
I think he spoke the truth.
The truth?
Seems that he has a niece, a Miss Gunhilda Bismarck. Did you know the young lady?
Well, yes, I...
Some years ago. Appears you took advantage of her youth and innocence. Finally, Mr. Orloff managed to find you. He said he told you it would only be fair for you to help Miss Bismarck support
that
you.
That isn't so. That is a lie.
He says you denied everything. Then he threatened to bring the entire sordid affair to the attention of your mother.
Not a word of this is true.
Your mother is a wealthy woman of rather conservative morality. She would therefore cut you off without a cent.
I tell you, he's lying.
And so you concocted this fantasy and brought it to us in hopes that we would remove Mr. Orloff from the scene.
You realize how wrong you are?
Please, Mr. Madison, we have been patient.
Don't you understand? I was just bragging to this girl the way you do in a bar.
I never do.
I made up this whole crazy yarn. I mean, maybe she just happened to be an enemy agent. Or maybe she saw a way to get rich. I don't know.
Mr. Patterson.
Anyhow, she fed them all kinds of nonsense. And they gave her the money to give to me. But she never did. She made a killing.
Espionage, spying, intelligence in general. These things are all far too important to be trifled with. What was your need to impress this girl?
Well, you see, my mother...
No, don't tell me. Tell her to a psychiatrist.
Doctor, why do the police and the Secret Service people refuse to believe me?
What makes you think I know?
Well, you're a psychiatrist, aren't you?
Well, that is what the sign says on my door. That's what the diploma reads on my wall.
Well, I accept that as evidence.
You do?
Yes.
Well, why should you? Can you be certain that this is not some elaborately staged hoax?
Oh, I'm not certain of anything, Doctor. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm willing to pay you.
You speak to buy certainty.
That's what you're selling, isn't it?
I am not selling anything.
Then why will you take my money? You do expect to be paid, don't you?
I shall help you find adjustment.
To what?
To the world.
Doctor, I am kidnapped off the street by foreign agents. I report that fact to the police, and I'm told to see a psychiatrist. Who's crazy?
All of us are. You are ridden with guilt.
Me?
First, for breaking your promise to your mother to refrain from dating while you were in the service.
Well, she had no right to make me promise that.
But that you should have told her so. Second, the seduction of the German girl.
Believe me, Doctor, it was the other way around.
The existence of a child.
I don't even know that there is a child.
But you also don't know that there isn't. Now, your very real feelings for Miss Eleanor Stacy.
I never said I felt anything from...
This affair you claim you're having with Marina.
That's just an arrangement in order to save my life.
No doubt. But you feel that you are being untrue to Miss Stacy. In addition, the matter of your work. You are about to complete a discovery that will bring fame and fortune to your company. And there will not be a single penny or ounce of credit for you.
Why do you insist on taking a simple situation and complicating it beyond all recognition?
My dear Mr. Patterson, I have merely stated the facts.
The facts?
There is no Orlov.
What?
There is no Marina. There is no Dimitri.
But I tell you...
There is a Gunhilda. There is a Miss Eleanor Stacy. And there is Mother. Also... There is a Mr. Borstal.
How can you say that there is no Orlov?
For 10 years, you have had guilt feelings over Gunhilda.
I never even thought about Gunhilda.
And then one day, Miss Stacy said she had received an inquiry where you, the same Walter Patterson, who had been stationed in Germany.
There, you see? If I'm making it all up, how could I make up that phone call to Miss Stacy? That proves Orlov exists. And that he was looking for me.
It only proves that someone may have been trying to find you. An old army body.
I didn't have that many.
Or you, unconsciously, could have made that call yourself.
Me? Why?
Well, just to give yourself an opportunity to have a conversation with Miss Stacy.
I'm sorry, Doctor. I just can't accept
but
what you...
you were playing with psychological dynamite. And it triggered a series of emotional explosions.
What you're saying is that I am imagining everything.
Yes.
That's impossible.
Do you know how you can make Orlov, Marina, and Dimitri disappear? Now, you must do three things. First, tell your mother you intend to marry Miss Eleanor Stacy.
What?
Second, tell Mr. Borstal. A new arrangement has to be made for you to share profits.
How could I tell him, sir?
Third, propose to Miss Eleanor Stacy.
Oh, I never could. I never could.
When are you supposed to be in touch with Mr. Orlov again?
I'm to call him every Monday at noon to set up an appointment. Mm. I would meet with Marina beforehand and we would decide what I'm to tell him.
You do the three things I just told you. And you'll see, this coming Monday at noon, there will be no Mr. Orlov. You haven't finished your eggs, Walter.
Yes, I know, Mother.
Waste not, want not.
You know what I'm going to do this morning, Mother?
Oh, you sound bright and alert.
Well, I've made up my mind.
Oh, Monday morning is always a good time to start a fresh project.
Well, I have a good one in mind.
What project is this?
Marriage.
Marriage?
Yes. I've decided to marry Miss Eleanor Stacy.
Oh.
And if you say anything else but congratulations, I will not let you come to the wedding.
But Walter...
Mother...
Congratulations.
Good morning, Miss Stacy.
Good morning. Are you Oh, it can't be. Oh, but it is. Walter Patterson. Now, what are you doing in that leather jacket and those denim?
Well, I'm having a little trouble with the mustache. It's still a little bit scraggly.
You know it's not too bad.
But I have my bike downstairs. I thought we'd take a little ride.
Well, who to?
We thought we'd stop off at City Hall and get a license.
A license?
And
Mr. Patterson. Mr. Patterson, is this the proper costume to wear to work?
I'm not working today, Mr. Borstal.
Well, we'll see about that.
And I'm not working tomorrow either.
You have a contract.
I also have a headache. I got it from reading the small print in the contract. And it won't go away until I get a new contract.
Mr. Patterson, we need those protein samples.
Correction. You need them. Write a contract that says we and my headache will disappear.
Do you know what you're saying?
Yes. Do you?
But why don't we all sit down with our lawyers and try to work something out?
Later. Miss Stacy and I have some things to discuss.
Well, please... Don't let me get in the way. I'll see you later.
Well, Mr. Patterson, you asked me to come for a ride.
Yes. But first, I have to cancel another date. That is, if it ever wants a date. If you know what I mean.
Not exactly.
Well, here goes. I'll find out in a very few moments.
I am sorry, but the number you have dialed is no longer a working number.
Oh. Well. Goodbye, Orlov. Goodbye, Dmitri. Goodbye, Marina. Hello, Eleanor.
Hello, Walter.
Hello and goodbye. Goodbye and hello. That's the story of the world, isn't it? We go from person to person, from event to event, round and round. From sleep to awakening, from dream to reality. And after a while, how do we really tell one from the other? Is there actually that much of a difference? I shall return shortly. Once again, we've brought you a tale that can adapt itself to anyone and everyone's attitude, taste, and belief. How do you want it? Was it a fantasy? An acting out, as the psychiatrists say, of a man's deep-seated guilt and inadequacies? Or was it a meeting at a point in time of a series of actual incidents? What do I think? I know only as much as you do. Our cast included Mandel Kramer, E.G. Justice, Bryna Rayburn, and Ray Owens. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.